It is good to be in God's house this morning, and it is especially good for me to be back in this church preaching God's word this morning. I'm going to have you turn with me to Isaiah 55 in your Bibles, if you will. Isaiah 55, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 11. Our God is much greater, bigger, whichever word you want to use, than you can imagine. And that is where I'm going with this morning. God's word here reads like this: Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed for the sower and the bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Let us pray and ask God to bless his word to us this morning. Father God, we again thank you for time to come together, to sing praise, to pray to you, and to look at your word. We pray, Lord, that you will use it in the working out of your sanctification in the lives of all those who are your saints already here. And for those who may not know you yet as Lord and Savior, by either age and not being able to understand all these things yet, or those who may not just not have had the Holy Spirit do that wonderful work in their life, we pray, Lord, that you will accomplish your good work so that your name might be glorified, so that your church might be built up. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. My wife accuses me a lot of repeating in church. So I'm going to tell you from the get-go right here what I'm going to repeat to you. God's ways are not like our ways, nor his thoughts like our thoughts. Now this is an interesting thought for us to consider, and that we are often guilty, sometimes very guilty, of trying to put God into the box of our understanding of his word. And not only of his word, but how he works things out in our life. As a minister, I have people come to me quite often and say, I don't understand. I know I'm doing that what God has called me to do. I'm being faithful in all the areas that he has called me to be faithful. Why is all this happening to me? We often sound like Job. Why is this happening to me? The reality is that God doesn't do things the way we want him to, or the way that we think he should. And when we're looking at his word especially, this is where it gets funny. And I've taught wrongly on this passage before, by the way, just to let you know. Where I've said to people, his ways aren't like our ways, and his thoughts aren't like our thoughts, and therefore we can't really understand what God has to say to us. Because we find that even people of like mind, such as Reformed believers, even many in this very room, don't always agree on everything that the Word of God says. Our presbyteries and synods are wonderful living examples of this, where men stand up, sometimes line up, so that they can say what they believe God's word has to say about this. And they are adamant that they are the ones that are right. And they are speaking different things sometimes. In fact, there have been a great number of things, even in the RP church, that have had to be worked out time and time again. Not just one time, but it's had to go back over it again. But we must understand, at whatever place we happen to be in our Christian walk, and I say that both in our sanctification and in our knowledge of God, is that God is much bigger in every way than we are able to fully understand or comprehend. We spoke a little bit about this in Sabbath school this morning with Jesus going through temptation in the desert. And when we see that temptation, we often like to liken it to our own temptations. But we fall so quickly. And Jesus never fell at all. And then Vince made it clear that that temptation didn't last just for that little bit of time, but it kept on going throughout his life. And yet he never failed. Our God is so much greater. Now this idea, though, that His ways aren't like our ways and His thoughts like our thoughts, this does not mean that there is nothing, though, that we can understand about God. Otherwise, why would we have passages like Psalm 86, verses 9 through 13 is what I'm going to read, but especially verse 11 says, "All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and they shall glorify Thy name. For Thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou alone art God. Teach me Thy ways, O God, Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name." We sang that. Teach me Thy way. Well, He wouldn't tell us to sing that or give it to us. Nor would it be in there if it was something that couldn't be obtained. He's saying, your ways aren't my ways, but that's speaking of the ways of the world. The ways of man as opposed to the ways of God. We can understand some of what God is doing. "I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forever." Well, I can only do that after I come to know Him. Come to understand His ways. And the more I learn about His ways, the more I understand His thoughts and His word, the more I will be able to fully magnify Him. "For Thy loving kindness toward me is great." How many of us can even understand that, little one? His loving kindness toward me is great. What does that mean? Well, we look at that differently. "And Thou hast delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." Well, we understand that pretty well now, because we have the fullness of revelation in Scripture to let us know that He's not just taking us out of the dirt alone, but He's taking us out of eternal damnation when He draws us to Himself in Christ. It's interesting when we talk to Christians who have a very poor understanding of the things of God. If any of you have ever done that, you've talked to people who say, "I know Jesus, yes, I'm a Christian." And as you talk to them further and further about these things, you begin to wonder to yourself, well, they don't have quite the understanding I do of these things. I'm not really sure that they know Christ at all. Because we're at different levels, and how much we feel that we might know. And in reality, we do know when we talk to especially people that know less. I think, oh man, I'm so blessed. I have such great knowledge. And yet the great knowledge that I think I have is like a single star in the sky on a bright starry night. It's just, which one's my knowledge? It's just that little bit. Still, we don't want to misunderstand this passage in Isaiah 55 to mean that we can know nothing of God. But just the opposite, that outside of Christ we can know nothing. Outside of the working of the Holy Spirit we can know nothing. But with that, we have so much more. With His Word, with His Holy Scriptures, He has delighted absolutely delighted in revealing so very much of himself, his thoughts and his ways to us. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 11, if you want to flip over there, I'll give you just a second. It says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things. For to us God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And we, as Christians, are blessed to have that Spirit of God who dwells in us and who teaches us these very things. We have, though, even with all of that, a great need to better understand who God is and who we are in contrast to Him as we understand Him to this point. And this is part of the reason why He has given us the Scriptures and why we have the shorter and larger catechism given to us to use to help us more fully understand this, as well as many other great writings that we have in our libraries to use, so that we might learn what is necessary about God and about salvation. But even more than that, so that we might understand in greater depth what sin is. And yet we can only understand it to a degree. And on this side of glory, we will never catch it fully. We will never understand what real agape love is completely until we stand face to face with God. We will never understand what forgiveness is until we see all our sins in that light. And then we will understand forgiveness. One of the problems that we have as Christians is wherever we're at in our walk, we think we've pretty much got it down pat. We think we know more than we know. And we have a tendency to get things confused and to think that God is sometimes much our servant when it's clear that his comparison to him and his greatness, we are but dust. I was likening, and actually going to do it today, I was going to throw a lot of dirt on my glasses, because that is how we look at what God has given us through the smudge of our sin and our life. And it's different for each of us. And so we view the things of God like that. And we want to have a better view. So where he says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts, he's not saying you can't understand them ever. What he's saying is you can't understand them fully until you stand before me. But we should be striving. We should be working. We should be growing in that direction. We need to remember, God has done everything right, and we have done everything wrong. It is we who have sinned against God, and it is He who has demonstrated His saving grace for His people. It is we who deserve nothing short of the full wrath of God. We don't like to talk about that today. And it is only He, through the work of Jesus Christ and the penalty He has borne on our behalf, that we are able to escape that. Psalm 103. And we just sing that too. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Aren't you so glad of that? That He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Man's way would be, let's deal it out to them. Sometimes I hear it even then from the people in the church. Boy, I really want to get those enemies of God. What do you want to get them for? You were once one of them. God brought you out of that. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. Not everyone, but those who fear Him, those who He's called to Himself, those He has blessed to hear that mighty gospel of Christ. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. How many of us can understand that little tidbit? How far is the east from the west? Try to unravel that one in your brain a little bit. Just keep going in this direction and in that direction. Forever. That's what it's showing here. This is the greatness of God's mercy. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Most of you can understand that. You have children. Or you've had children, you've watched them, you've experienced those times of demonstrating compassion to them. But not quite to the degree that God has with us. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower in the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and who remember His precepts to do them. He is God, and we are His servants. It's He who has chosen us, and not we who choose Him. Again, in the ways and thoughts of man, for most of the church today, that's uncomprehendable. They didn't have a major part, or at least a little part to play in it. But God says in John 15:16, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He may give to you." We know that this was especially given to those disciples and apostles of His. But this second part, and we understand this again to the degree, "This I command you, that you love one another." We understand it, but do we understand it fully? Do we understand it as God would have us to understand it? Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." He chose us. His ways are so different than ours. Again, in the facts that we've looked at, that we've read, and I used a lot of Scripture because the Scripture is the Word of God. It's always the deepest part of any message because the rest is my thoughts. And my thoughts aren't quite like His thoughts. But His thoughts are perfect. We see that indeed His ways aren't always our ways. And His grace extends far past anything that even the most knowledgeable of men can ever imagine. He has not left the matter of salvation to ourselves, which would be man's way, as I said, but has a better way. Man would have done salvation differently too. But God's ways aren't our ways. He had a better way, the best way. And He makes it clear to us. When we look at the Scripture and we see the blessings of God, how He has really poured it out on the people that He has called to Himself, it is God who does all the giving. We do all the receiving of the blessings. And in essence, it is we who benefit from God's extension of His grace in Christ Jesus. He's great. I said He's a bigger and greater God than you can imagine. He is great, and as it said, we are like dust, we are tiny. Everything about God, in fact, is great. Just a couple passages. Psalm 18 says that He's 18:50 says He is great in deliverance. He gives great deliverance. Psalm 31:19 says, "How great is thy goodness?" His goodness is great. Psalm 57:9 says, "For thy loving kindness is great." And it keeps on going throughout Scripture when you look at great things about God. There are so many great things about Him, I could just read them all morning. In comparison to that, everything about us is tiny, except our sin. For our sin is great. Psalm 25:11 says, "For thy name's sake, Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." That wasn't my thought on our sin. That was God's thought. It is great. God's ways indeed are not our ways, and His thoughts not our thoughts. Psalm 36 says, "Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies. Thy righteousness is like the mountains of God. Thy judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. How precious is Thy loving kindness." How precious is Thy loving kindness. O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of thy wings. How, I ask, will they come under the wings of God unless we take the bit of knowledge that we have of God's ways and of His thoughts and make clear to these people their need of a Savior and point them to the cross of Christ and to Christ who died on the cross? When we look at this, knowing that we do have a limited knowledge of the things of God, that we do, that we are supposed to be seed planters, we are supposed to be the people who are watering that which has already been planted, trusting that God will in His wisdom harvest at just the right time. We need to be out there doing the work of God. That is actually His way. I was speaking to somebody earlier this morning, and I said many people in the Reformed Presbyterian churches and some other churches that I've been a part of have become much like hyper-Calvinist, where we believe that God will just bring them in mysteriously off the street. We need to be out there doing this work. How can they know? How can they come to this new life unless we show them that they are first dead in their sin? That's not the way of man. They don't understand that. And then we make them aware of the resurrection of Christ. Again, God's ways aren't our ways. People don't understand somebody coming back from the dead. How can I grasp that? That's far beyond me. And yet through the Holy Spirit, He can do that. How can they understand what it means to them if we cannot use the very words of God to teach them their sin, to show them their Savior, to allow them to see the blessings for all who are in Christ, how will they know these things? So therefore, we have a need in the church to know the Word of God so that we can look at those words in Isaiah 55 and say, indeed, His ways are not my ways as I was, but His ways are becoming my ways. The very thoughts that He has given to us in His Word are the thoughts that I should be meditating upon day in and day out, so that when I do bring this Word of Christ, this Gospel of salvation, that I can expect people to respond to that. Because God has said, I will draw them. I have chosen them out. I don't care which ones respond. All I care is that I'm able to speak. All I care is that you're able to speak. That you're willing to speak of the truth of Christ. Of the truth of the commands that God has set before us. How caught up we get sometimes in thinking, oh, I just listened to all those Ten Commandments. If I can just obey them. And we forget then that although we're called to obey the Ten Commandments, that God says, you absolutely can't. That every week you're going to fall short. You're going to sin. When we examine ourselves for the Lord's Supper, we don't examine ourselves to prove how righteous we are, but to prove how unrighteous we are, to acknowledge that. God's ways are so great. Everything about God is above us. But we must learn what He has to say about Himself. That is our calling. And how we are to be. How we are to align our lives up with that He has given, so that each and every day that God blesses us with life, that we will be a light in a dark world. How sad it is to me as I look around in the lives of many who I have contact with on a regular basis and find out that the lights of this world only want to hang around in other lighted areas. We no longer want to go into the dark recesses. I don't know why. We're the light. It's not that we should be afraid of the dark. We're the light. Wherever we go with Christ in us, we are that light. And so every day we want to be a blessing to God. We want to be faithful to God. We want to do what He has called us to do. God is great. Greater than any of us can imagine. His ways are better. His thoughts are sweeter. I pray that we will consider this not only today, not only this morning, but through the day and through the week, and that we will give God praise and honor and glory, not in just with our mouth and our words, not just on Sunday morning, but through everything that we live, and that we will acknowledge Him for who He is, a God who is so far beyond our understanding in so many ways. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You today. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your Word. Without Your Word, Lord, we would be entirely lost. We wouldn't know up from down, this way from that way. But You have explained to us, You have given us that which we need. In fact, You have given us everything we need and more. And yet even that, Lord, we recognize still just shows us some of who You are. We are like Moses. If we looked upon Your full glory, God, we would just disintegrate. And so You show us what we have to know. You show us even a little bit more than that, so we can delight in who you are. But Lord, we look forward to that day when we will stand before you, when we will see you in the fullness of your glory, when we will recognize then how far above us your thoughts than ours, and your ways, and we will give you praise. In Christ's name, amen.